Farnsworth, Brother and Sister, E.W. St. Helena, California, January 29, 1906. Dear Brother and Sister Farnsworth, I received your welcome letter at noon today and read it at the dinner table. We feel a little lonesome. Elder Haskell and his wife left us last Wednesday morning for Armona, where Sister Haskell's sister lives. They will stay there till Elder Haskell is stronger. He was not very strong when he left here. His countenance was healthy-looking, but he was still suffering from boils on his limbs, just above and below his knees. He has been thus afflicted for a month or two. On his way to St. Helena, he visited the Loma Linda, Glendale, and Paradise Valley sanitariums. He was pleased with all the locations and buildings. He was much pleased with the San Diego climate, and also with the sanitarium building there, to which a valuable addition has recently been made. When they saw Loma Linda, they decided that it would be impossible to describe the place. They say that its beauty is indescribable. Elder Haskell says that the Lord's hand was certainly in the purchase of this place. We very much enjoyed Brother and Sister Haskell's visit. After Elder Haskell came, he drove up to the sanitarium several times for treatment. But it began to rain, and for 2 weeks we had showery weather. Sometimes it rained all day. We did not think it advisable for Elder Haskell to go out in such weather, so we prevailed upon him to stay in bed and take most thorough treatment. His wife is an excellent nurse. The boils, and there were many of them, were treated vigorously and thoroughly. Twice notice was given out that Elder Haskell would speak at the sanitarium on Sabbath morning, but each time we decided that his lameness and the rainy weather made it imprudent for him to venture out of doors at all. For the greater part of 2 weeks, he stayed in bed most of the time. Sister Haskell understood her business and left nothing undone that could be done to remove the affliction. We all tried to be cheerful, and Elder Haskell was thankful that there were no boils on his tongue. We took great satisfaction in talking of former days when Elder Haskell, my husband, and myself were closely connected in the work. We endured a great deal of affliction together, and we considered the record of this experience as worthy of repetition. We have held the beginning of our confidence firm unto the present time, and in the strength of our great high priest, looking ever to Jesus, we shall hold our confidence firm unto the end. Oh, how many times Elder Haskell, my husband, and I have felt the great privilege of the undeserving at the thought of our Savior's suing for his blood-bought rights in behalf of his redeemed. His golden girdle girds his bosom of infinite love in behalf of his purchased possession. Loving them from the first of time, he will love them unto the end. How often, among the lofty pine trees, whose fragrance was helpful to body and soul and mind, we offered our prayers to God. How often, while we were praying, the Holy Spirit came upon us with such rich fullness that not all of us could endure the glory. The fullness of the expression of the love of God overpowered our physical strength. What joy we felt as we realized the fulfillment of the promise, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. John 1, verse 16. How often there fell from our lips the words, "There are angels hovering round." Oh, how we felt the gracious outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as, recovering our strength, we praised God's holy name. The truth that we hold so dear was spoken in great power. The golden censer sending up the fragrance of the divine incense is just as ready for us now as then, and it knows no diminishing, ever emptying, yet ever having a constant supply, ever giving, yet always full. Well, in our talks together, we had a constant refreshing. We often plead for the church in Battle Creek. I desire to be faithful in the discharge of my duty, to reprove and rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. We have much to confirm our confidence in the beginning of our experience. The instruction contained in the 17th chapter of John should take hold of every fiber of our being. This chapter records Christ's wonderful prayer with his disciples just before his trial. He says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." verse 11, who will, with heart and soul and strength, enter into the spirit of this prayer, making such a response that in the heavenly courts Christ will be glorified and His glory will be reflected through our sanctification in the Spirit to this world, giving unbelievers evidence of the blood-bought rights that Christ has purchased for the redeemed. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Shall we not make an effort to answer this prayer proportionate to the sacrifice that Christ made in our behalf? Shall not our hearts be softened and subdued by considering His request, looking upward to behold the Lamb of God, in whom are centered all our hopes of eternal life? He only can take away all our sins, our spiritual uncomeliness. Behold the Lamb of God, pleading with divine eloquence for His church on earth. Shall we not strive to overcome our sinful unbelief, our wicked impenitence, as we think of His anguish, as He seeks to strengthen the mind to see about the throne, the rainbow of promise, reflecting its glory, the cloud of His people's sins behind it, claiming for His people exemption from the deluge of divine wrath? God Himself speaks, "When I see the blood, I will pass over. The bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and remember the everlasting covenant." Exodus 12, verse 13. Genesis 9, verse 16. As I consider these things as they are revived to me in the night season, sleep departs from my eyes, and slumber from my eyelids. By spiritually beholding, heaven has become my home. Look, the Redeemer is suing for His blood-bought rights. He presents His love for the fallen race, and heaven is no longer a strange place. Lay before the Father the promise given us to present. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will give it you. John 14, verse 13. Plead now, just at this time. Let thine hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou hast made strong for thyself. Psalm 80, verse 17. For His name's sake hear us, pity us, strengthen us. We will not boast, but glory in our infirmities, if Thy power, O Christ, will rest upon us. By faith we claim Christ as our elder brother. Let every heart climb by faith, and the promise that speaks better things for humanity than the blood of Abel. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Romans 8, verse 34. Have faith in God. Empty your hearts of self, and make thorough work for repentance. Trim your lamps, and put oil in your vessels with your lamps. Confess your sins, and ask pardon from Christ. Lay hold on the hope set before you in Him. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. John 17, verse 13-17. I wrote the foregoing yesterday evening. I retired at 7 o'clock, but could not sleep. My prayer went up to God in earnest supplication that He would let His power rest upon me, and teach me, and bless me, and give me a clear mind and an understanding heart. I went to sleep about 8 o'clock and woke at 1. There will be no more sleep for me tonight. I am now sitting on my couch with my pen in hand, writing. I have asked the Lord to strengthen my head, so that it shall not fail for lack of sleep. Ideas come clear and distinct, and very forcibly. I thank the Lord with heart and soul and voice. I carry upon my soul the condition of things in Battle Creek. I know of the presentations that will be made in the Battle Creek papers, but what better can be expected? Just such men condemned the Prince of Life. They said, "He hath a devil, and casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." John 10, verse 20, Matthew 12, verse 24. I am in good company. Christ was reproached and spoken against. I will not turn to the right hand or to the left to save myself from the judgment of such men. We want the truth and nothing but the truth. I will return to the prayer of Christ. As thou hast sent me into the world, he said, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. John 17, verse 18 to 23. These words show that God and Christ are two personalities, distinct and separate. The unity for which Christ prays, which is to make believers one with Him, as He is one with the Father, does not destroy the personality of God or the personality of Christ. The believers become sons of God, and the personality of all is preserved. Through their lives, the world is given a living representation of what the truth can do for those who are sanctified through a belief of the truth. This is the work which, if done, will save or condemn the world. Truth is a saving leaven to those who accept it and allow its heavenly principles to work in their lives. The believers, though many, are made perfect in oneness of action. Perfection of character will be revealed through their unity with one another and with Christ. But men and women cannot attain the spiritual union with Christ and with God that will make them perfect in one, and yet continue to have their own way, to continue to act out their own imperfect, unsanctified dispositions. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Verses 24 to 26. Being one with Christ in God does not destroy the individual personality of the believers. Those who are one with Christ in God become, through the sanctification of the truth, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ to a glorious inheritance. Our knowledge of God and of Christ must be a personal intelligence, gained by sanctification through the truth. When men are soundly converted, they will walk with all meekness and humility, ever learning and always becoming increasingly intelligent in regard to the duties required of them. The question that the lawyer asked Christ means everything to every soul. The multitude thronged about Christ, anxiously waiting for his answer. Christ understood the situation perfectly, and to the question, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" he answered, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Christ said to him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Luke 10, verse 25 to 28. But the lawyer, seeking to justify himself, said, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said unto him, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Verses 30 to 37. I have written most of these pages by lamplight. I send them just as they are, and just as I write all that the Lord gives me to write. There are those who say, Someone manipulates her writings. I acknowledge the charge. It is one who is mighty in counsel, one who presents before me the condition of things in Battle Creek. I have an elder brother on the throne, who has paid an infinite price to redeem the human race from the curse of sin. In our behalf, he died on the cross of Calvary. He has paid the price. Justice is satisfied. Those who believe in Christ, those who realize that they are sinners, and that as sinners they must confess their sins, will receive pardon full and free. But those who only pretend to grasp the promise of freedom from the curse of the law, those who do not fulfill the conditions laid down, cannot be pardoned. Christ clothed his divinity with humanity and bore the curse of the law for all transgressors of law. He bore the penalty of sin in his own life as the great medical missionary, that through dying a shameful death he might save the fallen race. He was tempted in all points as human beings are tempted, but not once did he yield, though the enemy assailed him with all his force. He made a free will offering in behalf of the human family, and he understands how to help those who are tempted, for he was tempted, and he has overcome in man's behalf. As he overcame, so every man may overcome, by being a partaker of the divine nature. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. 2 Peter 1, verse 4-9. Heavenly angels are commissioned to watch the sheep of Christ's pasture. When Satan with his deceptive snares would deceive, if possible, the very elect, these angels set in operation influences that will save the tempted souls if they will take heed to the word of the Lord, realize their danger, and say, No, I will not enter into that scheme of Satan. I have an elder brother on the throne in heaven, who has shown that he has a tender interest in me, and I will not grieve his heart of love. I know and am assured that he is watching over his children, keeping them as the apple of his eye. There is no diminishing of his love. I will not grieve the heart of Christ. I will try not to become a tempter to others. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verses 10, 11. Here is the eternal life insurance policy, bestowed on all who will heed the instruction given. Eternal life is the reward of faithful, diligent watching and working. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 11. Living on the plan of addition, adding grace to grace, your life insurance policy is secure. If faithful, you will receive the reward of eternal life. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Verses 12, 16. This message is given me to give to those who know the truth. These things I present before you. Will any of you turn from them with indifference? The counsel of God has been unfolded in your behalf. Will you now make a business of humbling your souls before God? Will the Lord be glorified by those who have turned away from the spirit and belief of the truth? Will not these now repent and take their stand for Christ and Bible truth? The world is to be flooded with every species of Satan's devising. There are false prophets in the world. The warning comes, "Beware of false prophets." Matthew 7, verse 15. This warning is specific. The danger must be met by men of intelligent minds who are fully versed in the words of Scripture.
For if God spared not the angels that sinned, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto them that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. 2 Peter 2, verse 4-7-9. Great things are to take place in our world, and we should be preparing for them. Fear not dignitaries or magistrates, or any other men exalted to elevated positions, for there is a commander in the heavens who has supreme authority. There are many in official positions who will love the wages of unrighteousness. Many of these dignitaries will be called upon to curse Israel, and they will be heard speaking great swelling words of vanity, boasting of their power. God's people are to pray. We have a governor in the heavens who has infinite power in his hands.